sort of awakening with the active presence of popular forces and the youth in particular. This awakening, of course, is taking place at a global level, but it's been more visible in our region. In one of his books, Brzezinski says he can see those changes in the international arena, stressing that active political forces are growing the political field. This is an important development in the entire world, and it's even greater in our region. The uprising has been more widespread in our region due to the autocracy and the imperialism which has for long plagued the nation. This is something the West needs to understand, and that the current developments in the region cannot be handled with the policies and the measures they took in the past, like trying to take over oil resources in the targeted countries or tackling issues through military action. That doesn't work. That way they will get stuck in mud. One clear example is the US invasion of Afghanistan, and now they say they want to pull out after resolving nothing. Did they manage to curb terrorism in Afghanistan? Such a claim would be ridiculous. And another example is the occupation of Iraq. They left the country with embarrassment. Therefore, military action is not a solution. They need to change their approaches and view the Middle East from a different perspective. This is indeed to their own good. If they think broadly, they will never put themselves in new quagmires.
You just talked about the developments in the Middle East and the entire region. Currently, the major country in the region entangled in military and political issues is Syria. Iran is accused by some Western countries of carrying out certain activities in Syria. Given the decades-long friendly ties between Tehran and Damascus and the situation in the region, those Western states claim that Iran is playing a negative role in the developments in Syria. What's your response to those claims?
I think the conflict in Syria now after 3 years has revealed its true face. It does not need my explanation. A close analysis of the situation and developments there leads one to the conclusion that Iran has been pursuing the right strategy with regard to Syria. There are some key factors about the crisis. A fair judgment of the situation would undoubtedly make everyone admit that Syria has been one of the most important countries on the front against the Zionist regime. None of the other regional Arab states played that role. In the 33-day war, Hezbollah and other resistance forces were there, along with Syria, as the only Arab state battling the Israeli regime. The other Arab countries either kept silent, or even some of them, based on our information, provided intelligence to Israel against Hezbollah. They played a destructive part. Syria has always had a leading role in the Palestinians' struggle against Israel. Actually, Syria had already lost part of its Golan Heights to the Zionists, and this further motivated it in the fight against Israel. So the role Syria was playing was a positive one, making the West try to undermine that role. Meanwhile, since Israel had already received two big slaps in the face from the resistance in the 33-day war in Lebanon, as well as the 22-day offensive on Gaza, Tel Aviv launched a campaign of terror by assassinating such figures as late Ahmad Mughniyeh. The campaign did no blow to the resistance as strong fighters continued the struggle. Then Israel decided that some huge pressure was needed to be put on Syria. And now these days, despite the earlier claims that Israel had no role in the Syria conflict, things are becoming more clear. And Tel Aviv's support for insurgents who are conducting terrorist activities in Syria is getting more and more obvious. This means that Iran's assessment of the situation was correct. Still, the other point is that Syria is in need of some political reforms. That is, the country should enjoy deep democracy. This is something we believe in, and no one can deny the leading role Iran played in support of all the regional revolutions in Egypt, in Tunisia, in Libya, in Bahrain and elsewhere. We never back dictators. When it comes to Syria, we have the same strategy. We approve of Syria's move toward democracy. We have already raised the issue with Syrian officials, calling on them to accelerate the democratic process. The question here is that whether democracy is based on people's will or it is something enforced from outside elements which will be imposing it on other nations. There are different factors. One is an international group which seeks its interests under the guise of democracy. Those countries have no regard for international law and order. I mean, under the pretext of democracy, they are pursuing other goals. The other part of the crisis is terrorist groups. This, of course, doesn't mean that there is no genuine opposition in Syria. But real opposition forces never behead people or take someone's heart out and eat it. We are in touch with the political opposition inside Syria, and we know that's not their strategy. The terrorist groups operating in Syria are actually not from Syria. For example, the so-called Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant is basically of Baathi origins, and they are operating under the title of the so-called Islamic State. In fact, they are the same terrorists who were once active inside Iraq, killing and spreading fear among people there. Altogether, those terrorist groups make up a movement which has completed the chain of Western and Israeli interests in Syria. There are, however, genuine opposition groups inside the country. The opposition based outside the country has some small backing at home, but the domestic opposition is formed by Christians, Alawites, Sunnis and Kurds. All those groups renounce violence. You can talk to them. None of them would approve of terrorist activities. They are all seeking peaceful political reforms. We are in touch with them. We know them. They reject all forms of violence in their cause. The Christian minority is angered by the killing of its leaders and the destruction of the churches by terrorist groups. We were aware of the situation on the ground and the political atmosphere, so we proposed political dialogue for an agreement between Damascus and the internal opposition. The talks we proposed would involve representatives from all sides, the Christians, the Alawites, the Sunnis, the Kurds, and the Druze. They would decide the country's future. We backed and still do support national reconciliation in Syria. At the same time, we are strongly opposed to any form of violence and denounce those who are creating chaos in Syria under the pretext of democracy. We have already raised this with other regional countries which have been seeking those wrong policies. We told them that we reject military intervention in Bahrain and that the interference there would not bring democracy to the nation. We told them that in Syria too, violence and military presence wouldn't work. Democracy is something which is gained through popular vote. You can't establish it with guns and bullets. After 3 years of military attacks against the Syrian government, now the question is, what did they gain? At the same time, however, the backers nurtured a terrorist movement. They harmed the Syrian nation, but what did they gain? I mean, the regional countries which interfered in Syria and backed terrorism there. The US and other Western countries gained nothing either, except some terrorist elements which traveled from the West to Syria, where they received new training and will be posing fresh threats to their home countries in the future.
Those terrorist groups claim to be Muslims, adhering themselves to Islam. And among the Western viewers who are now watching this program on Press TV, there are many who think that those groups are really Muslims. There is one key question, which many have been raising for long. Why haven't those groups ever targeted Israel and its interests, despite the fact Israel is Islam's number one enemy, grabbing Muslim lands and killing Muslim women and children in Palestine and Lebanon. I mean such groups as Al-Qaeda, the ISIL. Among them have never targeted Israel. Why is it like that?
That's an important question you just raised. Yes, when you review their records, those groups never launched a single attack on the Zionist regime. That's a very subtle point, which has always drawn the attention of intelligent people and experts living in the region. Among the terrorist groups, there are various elements. Some of them have been trained by the West. Some have no religious beliefs at all, like the ISIL, which have Ba'athi roots. And there are some, of course, who have religious beliefs, but they are fanatics. There is one point I need to mention here about the so-called war on terror, which was launched during the Bush era. Did the terrorism exist in the form they pictured it, or it was just a pretext under the guise of which they pursued other goals? I personally believe that the Americans raised the issue of terrorism and claimed to be fighting it, while behind the scenes they manipulated the terrorists and used them as a tool. There is clear evidence showing that American officials held talks with terrorist leaders in Iraq and offered them advice. So that means their so-called war on terror was not a genuine fight. Then what was the result? They decided that they should use the terrorists as a tool. I mean, they took a tactical approach, and that's a strategic mistake. A tactical approach toward terrorism is in fact a strategic mistake. You know, because when something becomes an ideology and finds its way into the brains of people, you can't get rid of it through military force. The West committed that mistake. They thought that they could use the terrorists when needed. But that doesn't work, and proof is what happened in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now the same terrorist groups and a bunch of others have spilled over into Syria, where they have made an archipelago of terrorism. The West has to take this into account. If some countries insist that they can tackle terrorism through tactical approaches, they will have to then agree that others can also do the same, and this could rapidly grow. As we can see these days, terrorism has a land in the region. As a matter of fact, not only the so-called war on terror failed to curb it, it even further nurtured it as well. This is blamed on the tactical approach which I mentioned about the countries which are now playing into the hands of Westerners. Well, this is so funny. Some of the regional states are supporting the terrorists, claiming that they are helping Syrian people to gain democracy. The irony is that those governments themselves have no idea about democracy. It's a modern joke. Those countries are ruled by dictatorship themselves. They are kingdoms or emirates, but they claim to be worried about democracy in Syria. This indicates that they are indeed seeking other goals behind the scenes. At any rate, they have to understand that the terrorists now operating in Syria will leave the country and head home. Therefore, the flames of violence which some states are now fanning in Syria will someday engulf them.
Thank you so much, Mr. Larijani.
My pleasure. Thank you and good luck.